Selected journal entries. Editor's note, following are some of the entries from Dad's journal. Some journal entries are included elsewhere in the book, they are not repeated here. These entries give us insights into the heart of Warren Gresham, and reflect his priorities. October 22, 1990. Tom has been working on the stock trailer. He is repairing the lights and brakes. We anticipate that we may purchase some livestock before too long. Thought for the day, never make an assumption. It has been proven that 80% of all assumptions turn out to be wrong. October 25, 1990. This was a fairly nice day, although not as warm as predicted. I had planned to take leave and go to the sale at Calhan today, but the heavy load at the post office made me put it off for a week. Still thinking about buying cattle, the price seems down a little. November 5, 1990. This seems to be the lull between the storms, a pretty nice day, there is snow forecast for tomorrow. Helene and I went to the sale in Lyman today. Alan and Beverly also went. We bought 7 head of first calf heifers. Black and black baldies. They weigh 800 pounds and cost $725 apiece. The most I ever paid for a critter, but then I guess that when I sold the cows a year ago, I got more for them than I ever had before too. We had them branded there at Lyman, and we were pretty late in getting home. It is cloudy now and getting foggy, I suppose the storm will come in. November 16, 1990. It seemed like a hard week, although I had 2 days off. I had the holiday of Veterans Day, and then I took annual leave on Wednesday. I need a little more time away from the office, it seems that this has become a way of life instead of a living. Choir practice on Wednesday was not well attended, some are sick, and others busy. Word came today that Jan Cable had suffered a heart attack last night. Then tonight, that she had undergone angioplasty, which was apparently successful, and will be in the hospital for a week. Still war and rumors of war. I do not think it will come to that, although according to the national polls I am in the minority in that view. I am afraid that we will have our men over there for a long time, and will expend a great deal of our money and resources to correct a cause that we are not at all sure of. I found an old diary which my grandpa Gresham maintained in the early 1940s, in which he wrote something most days. He usually closed each day with the notation, "News into bed." Well, that is much the way I feel right now, and I'm not sure about the news. December 1, 1990. Helene and I are spending a quiet evening here at home. Seems like we don't do that very much. We had gone to Kiowa, and renewed our farm note at the bank for the next year this morning. We found that there will be no payment in December, so that money will be applied to our tickets for our trip to Jim's the last of this month. January 7, 1991. My, what a long time I have been in getting back to this. So much has happened I hardly know where to begin. Christmas came and went, and we enjoyed it, but not as much as previous years. It was fun to see the grandchildren with their presents, and the look of awe that they had with everything. Helene and I left early the morning of December 28 from the Colorado Springs Airport, and went to Pittsburgh via St. Louis. The weather was terrible, in fact the St. Louis Airport was closed part of the day, and we had to circle for a while before we were cleared to land. We did make the connecting flight to Pittsburgh, as it also was delayed because of the weather. There was probably 8 or 10 inches of snow there at St. Louis. I don't really like to fly in that kind of weather, so you can imagine what Mom thought about it, as she hates to fly anyway. There was about 6 inches of snow on the ground at Jim's place when we got there that evening. We slept in rather late the next morning and when we got up, the snow was all gone. We enjoyed our time there, and had pretty good weather most of the time. It was cloudy most of the way back to Colorado again, but the trip was uneventful, and we got back to the springs about dark. It was good to be home again. January 12, 1991, we decided that we were tired of driving the GMC pickup, and never knowing whether it was going to leave us out on the road or not. We went to Colorado Springs today, and went car shopping. Alan and Ann both went along, as they love to shop for cars, especially with my money. We met at Sherry's for breakfast that morning, Alan and Bev, Tony and Ann and Helene and me. Our first stop was at an Oldsmobile place on Academy Boulevard. They had a real nice Olds 98, 1987. And we were able to get the price down to $8,000. We decided that that was too much money, and went on down to Riley Buick in Motor City. We tried several cars there and finally found an 84 Buick Skylark that I thought I could live with. I really didn't like the car too much, I just thought that at $4,000 it was something we could afford, and it seemed pretty sound mechanically. May 14, 1991. I've written before about my desire to ease back on the farming, and have a little less to do. I have made a deal with Dwayne Royston to plant the wheat this year, and also to plant oats this spring if there is enough rain. We will do this on shares, 1/3 and 2/3, I will have to pay the cash rent. This is not a real good deal, but it will maintain my interest in the place, and I can farm it myself when I retire. The wheat is not real good. That portion that I worried about last fall is really poor. It is that part that I planted first and got a rain on it and crusted the ground. I should have replanted. I am going to try to get the ASCS to let me destroy some of it and plant oats. May 16, 1991. We had a call from Priscilla Tracy's daughter. She said that Tony had been taken to Penrose Hospital with an irregular heartbeat. She said that he was resting comfortably and they would keep him on the monitor overnight just to be sure everything was okay. She said not to call the hospital room, but to wait until later, and call her mother, Priscilla. I called Ann as soon as I could, after choir practice. Her report was a little more upsetting. It seems that Tony had this attack shortly after reporting for work at school this afternoon. He tried to give the impression that it was nothing, but it was apparent that such was not the case. The school called the local fire department and EMT unit, who in turn, called 911 and transported Tony to Penrose by ambulance. He has had several EKGs this evening, and is apparently resting well. However, his blood pressure is very high. It is feared by the doctors that he may have a blockage in an artery. If tests reveal this to be so, he will do angioplasty tomorrow and break up the clot. I will go down after work tomorrow, but will go earlier in the day if I am needed. And will call after she gets to the hospital in the morning. May 22, 1991. Five young kids, old enough to know better, but too young to resist, drove around the country west and south of Elbert one night after the award program at the school. In their travels, they managed to stop occasionally and bop a mailbox. They destroyed 22 boxes during that little trip. Some of them were knocked down, some were just smashed, and left on the stand. When they tired of this pursuit, they drove back to town and stole some paint out of the school. They had to enter illegally, but they did not have to break in, as they had left a window unlocked earlier in the evening. They probably didn't know exactly what to do with the paint, so they drove around till they found the new yield sign near the post office. It seemed like a good idea to smear some paint on it. They still had so much left that the whole side of the community building looked like a good place to put the rest of it. Of course, they didn't paint in the traditional sense of the word, but rather painted graffiti, and just threw paint on the wall erratically. The sheriff's office did find out who did this thing, and notified the postal inspectors. It is claimed that the kids will have to take the paint off the building, and also make restitution for each of the mailboxes that were damaged. We will wait and see if this actually happens. June 19, 1991. The weather remains dry. Clouds come up every day, and there is thunder and lightning, but only sprinkles of rain. The hay is looking bad, it could still make some if it would rain soon. Today was a windy day, which doesn't help a bit. Tomorrow, June 20, 1991, marks the beginning of our 38th year of marriage. I can hardly remember what it was like not to be married. I have said before, and it still holds true, that I had done many things, and gone many places. From the east coast of Florida to California, from Texas to Illinois, to Japan, Korea, Philippines, and Okinawa, but I never really started living until I got married. I'm not sure how all the bills are going to be paid, but I'm sure enjoying not farming the wheat and oats this year. I don't think the wheat will amount to very much, but that is drought, and not farming that causes that. John Worman told me today that he was remodeling the house where he lives, and that on the 2x4 studding is marked, Gates Mercantile Company, Elbert, Colorado, 1907. The house is on the old Gus Wright place, and Gus built that and honed the expertise and popularity of Jens Oker and Joe Helgeth. All were, however, men who built many of the houses and barns in this country, in the first part of the century. I think that the Gates building, which still stands in Elbert, was constructed in 1903. The Gates Mercantile Company was the store during that time, and was sold out during the latter part of the 1920s. While Gus was a carpenter, he was primarily a plasterer. He plastered many of the houses that were built both by Oker and Helgeth. I know that when Oker built the addition on this house in 1941, Wright did the plastering. This was a good day. The Hoh Showers are on vacation on their way to Alaska. Jerry Martin, the division chaplain at Fort Carson, was our supply minister. Ken had told him that he would be invited by someone in the church to have dinner. There were no invitations forthcoming, and I was put out and thought that no one seemed to care. I made arrangements to take him, and his family along with Helene and I, to the tea house, but I was miffed and felt used. How terribly wrong I was, in that thinking. I don't know when I have enjoyed anything more than the time we spent together. What a wonderful man he is, so sincere and kind to others, so vibrant and full of life. He is so thankful to God for everything. I would certainly have been cheated if I had not been able to spend this time with him. We had planned to go to visit Virginia in the Springs this evening, but no one answered when we called, so we gave that up. Helene and I decided to take a ride over to Monument and get a dish of ice cream. By the time we arrived there, we were hungrier than we thought, so we had a hamburger also. Following that, we drove on up to Palmer Lake and came home on the County Line Road. It was fun. I taught Sunday school today, the first time in a long time. I do enjoy it, however, I do not like just teaching from the daily Bible reading. It is now in the midst of the prophets and so much repetition. I know it will get better and more interesting when we get into the New Testament. I like a lesson that has an application for today's living. July 29, 1991. I had to go to Denver, to the GMF for a training meeting on rural route management. It was the same training that I received back in 1982, with only a few modifications. I still had the worksheets in the binder, with the questions and answers, so I just kind of coasted along with it. The weather was nice, and traffic not too bad, although it was 1.5 hours each way. I worked on the big tractor this evening. There is a head gasket blown on the rear head. It leaked very badly the few minutes that we had it started Saturday, but today didn't leak at all. I could see a little steam at the site where it was leaking. I am going to check with Merle when he gets home, for his advice. I would like to run it for the rest of the summer, as I don't have very much work to do with it, and fix it this fall. The wheat is dry enough to cut now. Kay took off part of the day and had Carol work. I hope this harvest does not take too long. I have so many things that I need to get done at the office. I want to do the inspections, no later than the middle of August, on the routes. I have to get new carrier cases and get them installed. Time to call it a day. Tomorrow is July 30th. It's always a bad day, even after 28 years. I still remember very vividly the day that Mother died. I never saw Pike's Peak look more majestic and magnificent, as I sat in the waiting room with Dad and watched the sun come up and shine on that mountain. Helene said it just shows that God is still in charge, that He can be depended upon no matter what, and that He comforts us with such beauty. I think I did receive strength from that beauty. God did sustain me that day, and the view of the mountain was just a part of that sustaining power. I thank God that He does comfort us, and protect us, and love us, even when we are the most unlovable. September 17, 1991. Write something every day, no matter how short or simple it may be. These are the words of my Aunt Bernice Roberts. I must try harder to heed this advice, for she writes so well and meaningfully. It has been nearly a year since I started to write a journal. Of course, I have not written daily as I had planned, but perhaps I have caught some of the highlights of the past year. I am now in the middle of a mail count at the post office, and at times it seems overwhelming, but I shall endure. The end of the fiscal year is always a bad time, with many reports and other year-end activity. This is the coolest evening of the fall so far, as we have been lucky to have nice weather all month, and promise that this cold spell will not last long, with it warming again before the weekend. This has not been a very good year for profit on the farm. The hay crop was very short, I have enough for feed, but will have very little to sell. The wheat only made 18 bushel per acre, so that was a poor crop. Oats will bring in a little cash, but there is a lot of expense with them. Time for bed, and more writing tomorrow night. February 23, 1993. A cold wind today, high of 35 at 12:45, and low of 10 at 6:15, but it was sunny most of the day. One more calf today. This is the 10th one, and is number 12 in our counting scheme. A nice heifer calf, but the tits were so big she just couldn't believe it. She's eating okay tonight though. Helene went to the Springs with Gail today, to watch kids while she went to the doctor. I just worked and fed the cattle. There were a couple bits of good news today at work. First, Kay learned that she is to be a grandma. Mike and Rhonda expect a child in October. Secondly, a customer, who I have been trying to get to lower his mailbox, installed the old smaller one, and thus averted the showdown that was coming this weekend. I was sure dreading that. Tom goes to New Mexico tomorrow, hate to see him go. It's his job, and he needs the additional money, but his family needs him here also. I hope to be able to resume this practice of writing just a little bit each day. Aunt Bernice does it so faithfully, and makes a great contribution. I love to read her writings, they mirror some very profound thoughts. How alive and quick her mind is, even though the body has become very slow. I want to retain that mental agility as I age. Maybe I can, as I close with these words from Benjamin Franklin. Resolve to perform what you ought, perform without fail what you resolve. February 24, 1993. A beautiful crisp morning, started out with a low temperature of 12 degrees at 6:40, and warmed to 35 at 9:46, which was the high for the day. Very foggy tonight with some snow forecast. Grandpa Judge entered the hospital this morning with pneumonia in one lung, and swollen feet. He will probably be there for 2 or 3 days. It seemed like a very hard day today, actually it wasn't so bad, but I am weary tonight. Choir practice went fairly well, but many are sick, so not many there. Two things are bad for the heart, running upstairs and running down people. Bernard Baruch. February 25, 1993. Cloudy and drizzly all day today, a low of 16 at 7:30 and high of 28 at 2:38 p.m. I went to Dr. Heaton today, I wanted to get a prescription renewed for Zantac, but didn't have much luck. He wanted me to be more conscious of my diet. He suggested skim milk, and no chocolate. I'll cut out the candy, and drink milk at noon instead of at night, but I'll be damned if I'll drink skim milk. I've seen too many bucket caps get a pot belly from that. I have enough trouble with my waistline. Word came tonight from Aunt Leora, that Henry Ablutz died this morning from a heart attack. This is so sad, they had been planning such great things to do to enjoy retirement. We may try to go to Longmont on Sunday and visit, as I am afraid it will be hard to get away on Monday for a funeral. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal, Thomas More. April 10, 1993. Well, here it is the night before Easter, another year gone by. And we are going to have the usual big day tomorrow. We will go to sunrise services at the Presbyterian Church at 6 a.m. Then to the breakfast, served by the Women's Club at the Hall. At 11 o'clock, the choir is singing the musical at the Christian Church. We are singing The Way Again. I think this is the third time we have done that one, although some think that this is the fourth time. The weather has been cold and windy, and I haven't felt very good. I think that the two are related, but I can't prove it. We got some badly needed moisture, some say about an inch. Many will be in church tomorrow morning, some of whom will not find it necessary to go again until next year. Some won't find it necessary to go at all. They seem so confident and sure of themselves. They don't need anything else. Church cannot fill a void for them, because they don't recognize that there is any void in their lives. I wonder if I am any better. I'm in church every Sunday, and profess Christianity, but I let other things be important to me. The older I become, I realize how often I don't live up to what I profess to be. I also see how much gray area there is in life, and not so much black and white. The foolish and the dead alone never change their opinion. James Russell Lowell. Dear son John. Editor's note, Dad wrote the following letter to John at the end of his long career with the Elbert Fire Department. Dear son John. Your mom and I both know how much the fire department has been a part of your life, and that is not an easy thing, for you no longer to be a part of it. Your accomplishments within it have been many and very beneficial. When you assumed the office of chief, the district and the department were operating with old and inadequate equipment. Through your vision and foresight, new equipment has been purchased, bringing fire protection ability to the district that is equal to any department in the county. Through your supervision, members have received extensive training that prepares them to fight fires effectively. You can be proud of your efforts that have made the fire department what it is today. The Gresham family has always had association with the fire department. Going from the pickup truck in 1954, with a 150-gallon water tank and a sandpoint-driven well for a water supply, to the capabilities it has today. That family is proud of you, and the part that you have had in it, but maybe the most proud are your mother and dad, who love you and wish you the very best in whatever you may do. Mom and Dad. January 25, 2014.